Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word.
Hey listeners, Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Stila Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 163, Loved by God, we are talking about Mary Magdalene. Sharon, tell us a little bit about Mary Magdalene and where in the Bible we find her encounter with Jesus.
Well, we find her in multiple places, and each one to me is tantalizingly brief. I want more. But oh my goodness, she shows up again and again in Jesus' life and journeys. She was a really intimate follower of his, and it's so much fun to unpack it. So, because there are so many passages about her, we're not going to wait to the end of reading them all to talk about her.
Right.
I'm going to read a passage, and then we'll chat, then you'll read a passage, and then we'll chat, because otherwise I think we won't remember all the stuff by the end.
Yeah, we want to talk about her. She's very interesting.
Yeah. So she's introduced in Luke 8, 1 through 3, and I'll read this one, and then we'll talk. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. There's our first glimpse. What do you learn about Mary from those short little verses, Nicole?
First of all, I just think of where she came from, and she had seven demons in her, and that must have been absolutely terrifying.
Yes.
Do you think sometimes, I think we get it in our heads that God only calls these very qualified, wonderful people, but here is our sweet Mary starting out, and we get a glimpse of her history. It doesn't sound very lovely. It sounds really terrible and hopeless and
terrifying.
Awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
To start out with that. So I bet that helped to create a really special bond with Jesus. Like, you freed me from so much. Like, how can I not serve you with my life?
Exactly. I chose the word gratitude. I feel like she just must have had so much gratitude for that. I was thinking about the fact that a spirit can inhabit a human body. I don't think about that often because it's a little eerie.
Ponder in the morning.
Then again, the Holy Spirit also inhabits a human body, right?
That's true, yeah.
And I can remember when I accepted Christ a long time ago at age 4, even as a 4-year-old, I knew he was in me. So the way God designed the body, there's a spiritual element, and spirits can reside within. Now, once the Holy Spirit comes in, hallelujah.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about those demons. But anyways, it just brought to me again the reality that we are not just bone and blood and flesh. There's a spiritual element to our body. I mean, the breath of life in us is not something concrete either, you know?
Right.
So, and neither is the demon stuff. So it fascinates me that Mary and these women were hanging out with them from town to town. It's like Jesus is on a tour. All I can think of is like a band tour, right?
Yes.
He's on a tour. He's going from this village to that village to that village.
Yeah.
And of course the disciples are with him. But Luke is making special mention of the fact that there were more followers than the 12. And some of them were women, which I suspect was unusual.
Oh, yeah.
And how unusual was it for women to be the supporters?
Yes.
Isn't that fascinating?
That is neat. I love that he included that he thought that was important to add.
Yeah. And so then I get worried, not worried, concerned, wondering about Mary. Was she rich? Was she, I mean, is this verse referring to one woman supporting, or is everybody mentioned part of the supporting? Was Mary Magdalene a wealthy man's daughter who had demons in her and then was cured, and then her daddy let her follow Jesus because she was cured, right?
Like, oh, I don't know anything for my little girl.
Oh my goodness, so many questions to ask
her
when I get to heaven. But she was grateful. She was grateful. And she was grateful to the degree that she didn't settle in one place. Right. She wandered with Jesus. And that meant, I'm assuming, for the women, they had to rent inns. Did they sleep on the ground at a distance from the guys?
Right, right. I did wonder about that, how the logistics of that would work.
Right,
because they're not sharing the same tent, so they can't.
They can't be doing that, no. And there's never a mention of impropriety, ever. Yeah. So, you know, there's a group of women, they're somehow, you know, separate in the appropriate ways.
Right, where no one, because it's not mentioned that people were concerned or said anything about it.
Not
so
a
thing. If they were too close, I'm sure it would have been called
out. Right, right. But they followed.
Yeah.
And that can't been easy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really prefer my own bed.
Mm.
And when I go traveling around, which I do, coming home and sinking into my own space.
It's the best.
It's so nice. So they gave that up.
Yeah, she must have been brave to leave whatever she had behind, whether it was something nicer because she was from a wealthy family or if it was very little because of how she'd been living. We don't know.
We have no
idea.
But
she left. She left it, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the first time she's mentioned. Why don't you share the next?
All right. The next time she's mentioned is in Matthew 27, 50 through 56. And this is kind of a more somber time that she's mentioned. So then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. So he's on the cross here. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee.
Wow.
There's a lot going on in that
There's
passage.
There's a lot going on in that passage.
Pretty terrifying. But.
Yeah, yeah. The word I chose for that one was loyalty.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She has been through trauma in the past with the demons.
Yeah.
She chose to watch her Savior die. Mm. Why? It says the women were there to care for them.
Mm.
So even after his death, she wanted to care for his body.
Yeah.
She was loyal to the end, and
absolutely.
I just admire that so much.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if her experience with demons helped her with kind of the terrifying things that were going on, tombs opening, earthquakes, Roman soldiers shaking.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not normal.
No.
Roman soldiers are tough dudes, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
For what they're called to do.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and they're crucifying people all the time, man. They're used
to
it.
Oh, that's true.
But they're not used to earthquakes
and
rocks splitting.
Mm.
So Mary, in her life, saw a lot of the supernatural. More than I have, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that.
Because
I said the same thing. She was there till the end. Despite all of the scariness and the people walking around, graves opening, rocks splitting, that's a lot. That's a lot going on.
It is a lot. It is. And I always forget that part, Nicole, that other people rose from the dead and wandered around Jerusalem for a bit.
That's unsettling.
Jesus shook the heavens and the earth and conquered death itself. Mm. I don't think any of us have any idea of the magnitude of what happened.
In the spiritual realm.
So, right.
Yeah, if that's what just came through to our little physical world, like what was happening on the other side? Like this is what Satan had been actively trying to prevent since Eden.
Yes.
Trying to thwart it.
Yes.
So you just wonder what in the world happened.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's not this quiet little scene of him on the cross or whatever. It was quite an event to
it
be.
It was. I wonder if kind of like a movie, but Jesus would have to hold my hand through it. If we get to see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When we're in heaven.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's fascinating to think about. It really is.
So much there.
So there's our loyal Mary.
Yeah.
Faithful to the end, like you said. All right. Well, we're not done with Mary.
There's
she shows
more.
Up again. Wait, there's more. Okay. I'm going to read quite a long passage now. It's John 20, 1 through 18, because our Mary is signaled out for the most important job.
Mm.
And it's just so cool that God chose a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cool because women's testimony wasn't even allowed in a court of law.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't believed. I don't know why. I think that's pretty offensive, but they weren't. And yet,
so
who does he choose? Mary.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me read it.
All
so
right.
cool. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, there's loyalty for you, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Must be John talking here.
It's gotta be John.
Yeah. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but this always cracks me up. But the other disciple outran Peter. Is that not just so male?
It is, but I got there first.
Yeah, right. Anyways, back to the script, Sharon, the Bible. Outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. It's almost like Jesus bursts out of the linens, and then he's like taking the cloth off his face and being tidy.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Oh, gives me chills.
So cool. All right, I've totally lost my place. Hold on a second. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first. No, we already did that one. Yeah, no. What? Yeah, first also went in, and then he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home.
Then they went home. Like, what else do we do?
That's so weird. Okay, so Mary's still there. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken my Lord away," she replied, "and I don't know where they put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go, find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I've seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. I'm crying reading it.
I was going to say, I can never read that passage and not cry. Every time he calls her name, it gets me every time.
Yeah.
Every time, just the compassion that he had to speak her name and like, "I'm here.
I'm right here, honey.
I'm right here. I never left you."
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you learn about Mary from this one, Nicole?
She really loved him.
She did.
She loved him, and she stayed. And for her to just stay after the men came and they left and they're trying to figure it out, or they went home, they didn't know what to do. She stayed. And, "Where have you taken my Lord? Please, if you've hidden him, I'll go get him."
And how's she going to carry him?
I know. She didn't think through that. She just wanted to be near him to the end and honor him. At that point, she thought she was going to honor his body by preparing it.
Right.
So just her faithfulness and her absolute devotion and love to him to the end was so beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. I don't know why, I just chose words for each of these, you know, but the word I chose was lament. Mary Magdalene knew how to grieve. She cried so much, she couldn't see Jesus, really.
Yeah.
You know, she is grieving. And it's so cute because the angels are like, "So why are you sad?" Jesus is like, "So why are you crying?"
"I'm right here, Mary."
"Hello."
I did always wonder why she couldn't recognize him. I didn't know if his body was so different or if it just was, she just couldn't, you can't imagine that you would see that person alive because they're dead.
And your eyes are full of tears. Yeah. You're barely looking.
Right.
I mean,
all swollen and puffy.
Yeah, I'm terrible at observing anyways. So
that's true.
I wouldn't have noticed.
Not very good
either. You know, so, but anyways, then there he is. There he is. And the joy in when he says, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father."
Yeah.
I just get goosebumps.
Yep.
Because until Jesus conquered death, until he took Mary Magdalene's sin on his body and said, "Punish me," God wasn't, in the best sense of the word, your God, your Father. There was the separation that comes from sin.
Right.
And the triumph of saying, your Father, your God. I have made things right with you so you can walk right into the presence of the living God, man.
Oh, she was the first to hear that.
Yes.
She was the very first to hear that.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable. And she had the honor of telling people.
She did. Yeah. I love that she got to go back and tell them.
Yeah.
That's so special. Because he saw her heart, her faithful heart of love.
He did. She was the last one standing there. And she was willing to haul his body somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, men usually are not haulable easily by women.
I can't imagine. That would have been an easy
Especially
task.
A dead body.
Right.
They're not helping.
Right.
So anyways, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So, okay, one more passage.
One more passage about Mary. Okay.
Go for it.
So in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and then I'll hop down to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So we don't know, but we assume that Mary Magdalene was active in the early church. So we'll read these verses and find out. So then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. I love that. Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. And then down in Acts 2, 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
Oh, my goodness.
Really,
don't you love the emphasis in an age where women were not emphasized that is placed? And the women were there. And the women were there.
Yeah.
And the women were there.
Yes.
This is more significant than people realize that on purpose. It's like it wasn't just the man hanging out there and constantly in prayer.
Right.
The followers of Jesus were men and women, and they were there too. And we're assuming Mary Magdalene would be among them.
Yeah.
Her name is not mentioned, but we're assuming. So I just love that. What an honored place Mary Magdalene has in the scriptures, Nicole.
Yeah.
Any further thoughts on her before we talk about Jesus part of this?
I was just thinking how that would have been really neat for her to kind of see the full arc of his ministry on earth. Meet him at the beginning. She was ministered to in the very beginning by him. Then she became his follower. Then she watched him die. She was there at his resurrection. And then to be there at the end too, and the Holy Spirit came. Like, what a beautiful, just full arc to the story. She was there from the beginning to the end of his ministry.
Was.
Got to see each different part and experience it. Like, that's really cool.
It is.
I really can't wait to talk to her, because as believers born after his death, we experience salvation in a different way than she would have experienced. I mean,
absolutely.
She saw him die. And then she heard him say, "Your sins are forgiven now, like my Father and your Father." So cool. It's just so cool.
It is. It is. Oh, it's a wonderful story. It is.
She had a neat story for sure.
Well, let's look at Jesus' story now. The thoughts I had on Jesus' story, he was so not proud. He accepted money from women.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, they're supporting him. He wasn't interested in money at all.
No.
When I get like money focused, I have to remember, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head.
I know.
And look at all he accomplished. So why are we worried about the color of the pillows on your couch?
I know.
Yeah.
So it's so easy to.
So I noticed that. I love that he welcomed women. I know. I kind of thought, demons never frightened him. I mean, he had the 40 days war with Satan at the very beginning of his ministry.
Yep.
And conquered that using scripture. And then he threw out many demons over and over, including Legion. You remember the guy that had so many in him that he was like killing himself and cutting his body?
That was creepy.
And then they all go into the pigs,
the pigs.
And you're like, so each pig had a demon? How many demons was in the guy?
It's a lot. Can you imagine living with that?
Oh, my
that poor
goodness.
Man.
Yeah. So anyways, Jesus was willing to fight in the spiritual realm. Like, I would not be willing unless he really helped me. That's all I have to say about that.
I hope I'm never called to do that because that is a little scary.
Yeah.
It was above my pay grade.
Yeah. So how about you? What did you learn about Jesus from these encounters with Mary?
Oh, I love that he finds us and he heals us and then he uses us for his glory.
He does.
We're willing to be used. Look at the beautiful way that she was able to minister and deliver good news to the disciples and support Jesus and be there in his ministry. And nothing can ever stop him from working in and through us.
Yeah.
You'd think with someone that had seven demons in them, like, whoa, maybe they're not the best person to be a follower. No, he found her and healed her and used her. And she was a wonderful part of his ministry.
She was.
So
she
we can't look at ourselves and our own weakness, which I think I was just saying to you this morning. But it's so easy to get hung up on what we can't do instead of remembering to look at Jesus and what he can do. And
right.
He can do anything.
He can. And he loves to use the least likely.
Good thing.
Isn't it? Nobody's eliminated. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
It really is.
I love that about him.
I do too. Well, now we're going to turn to our own stories, because we always like to start with Jesus stories, but then kind of talk about our own a little bit. And we've just highlighted the most dramatic moments of Mary's life with Jesus. There were probably a lot of mundane ones as well,
where
maybe she was washing dishes after cooking over a campfire,
right.
You know. But it kind of was fun for me to think back over 64 years of walking with Jesus. Can you believe that? I'm 68.
That's amazing.
So 64 years. Nicole, it's gone so fast.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Why does it go so fast?
Yeah, I know it. All right. As one of his children. And so picking some of my highlights. So, and then I want to hear yours. Because
you have
highlights too.
I do. I know. It's fun thinking back on them. This was a fun little exercise.
I think we should do this
more often as believers.
Yeah, just to kind of remember the highlights. So obviously conversion for me at 4 really was a highlight. I know for some people they don't remember it well.
Yeah.
I do. And it
That's
was awesome.
Amazing. Yep.
And then baptism at 12, another really precious memory because I actually wasn't with a group. I all of a sudden knew I had to be baptized. Asked my pastor. There was no baptismal at our little church. Everybody went to another church for just me for Sunday evening service.
Oh, Sharon.
Honest to Pete. Sharon, who do you think you are? But anyways, they did it. And it was like late afternoon because as I came out of the water, I got one of those heaven rays right on the pool.
That's so special.
I know. It was just beautiful. So then a highlight of sadness. It's so sad. The happy part is I met Ray Gamble. That's not the sad part. The sad part is I became obsessed with Ray Gamble to the point that he was my first thought in the morning and my last thought at night.
And oh, yes. All those years when we meet a boy.
Basically, all my thoughts, right? To the point where my friends would say, can we talk about something else, Sharon?
Oh, that's funny.
All you're doing is talking about Ray Gamble, and we're not as interested as him. You are.
You were smitten.
I was so smitten. But it was a falling away from the Lord.
Yeah.
And he called me out on it.
Mm.
I remember a bicycle ride where he really talked to me about it. So I had to let go of Ray and say God was more important, because at that moment, God hadn't been more important.
Mm.
And God wanted first place back. He did.
See, and I think that's interesting. Side note to your story. I love that it wasn't you that had converted Ray either, that God used something else, almost to kind of show you like, okay, we're not going to use, you know, sometimes he always knows.
Yes.
Because then it would be like, well, I saved him. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, I didn't.
I love that. It was those martyrs.
Yes,
I love
it was
his
the
story.
It had nothing to do with me, despite all my words. Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. So, so there. So that was that. That was my falling away, but I'm back.
That's good.
I came back.
We're so glad.
Yeah. And I still got Ray Gamble, although I had to give him up mentally. I did. Because I literally had to say, God, you're more important.
Yeah.
And God wasn't. So I needed to say that. All right. Moving on. When I was a young wife, living away from home for the first time, I'd always lived in the same place.
Yeah.
And Ray was working 12, 14 hour days. And I was getting used to the fact that I could see him briefly at dinner, maybe. I met two women who invited me to join a prayer group.
Aww.
And I'm going to cry about this because I just talked to them a week ago.
Yeah.
We had a Zoom call. They live in Maryland and Minnesota. And, you know, here I am in New Hampshire. Still close. That changed the trajectory of my life.
Wow, Sharon. That's beautiful.
Because it called me to a deeper walk with God and prayer.
Mm.
And they were very godly. they brought me to some beautiful places. So really thankful for that. I think I should be done because I really want to hear yours. Persian Gulf War, those years when Ray was first working on his PhD, the Persian Gulf Wars, God taught me a lot about surrender, taught me a lot about loving Ray when he wasn't around. And it was good for me and good for our marriage in the long run. And then Moms in Prayer came along, I love Moms in Prayer. Still do. I still run a group, but I was very involved with it for a while. And Fern Nichols was my mentor and still is. Oh, my goodness. How can I have Fern Nichols for a mentor? It is so amazing.
She's pretty cool.
And I learned so much more about prayer, praying scripture through Moms in Prayer that I use every day, every day. And then God brought me to Sweet Sealer Ministries. And I love that, too, because it's all about just knowing him and loving him. Aww. The end. Your turn.
Oh, goodness, I know. I'd say Jesus found me at 6, and I do remember my conversion. I just remember being so filled with, I was so burdened by the heaviness of my sin at 6, because, you know. But I remember just loving when he came into my life. And then I was baptized shortly after at 7, and that was really special. Aww. I remember being so excited to show. We were in a really big church in South Dakota at the time, and it felt so special. I was so short, they had to put a chair in the baptism for me.
Are you kidding me?
So I wouldn't go down too far in the water, because it was a deep tub. So that was fun. And then in high school, I went on my first missions trip, and that was my first real, experience with the presence of God. I was standing underneath the sky, and it had been like a really rough day, and it was just kind of quiet, and the distractions of life were away. And I was able to, I just had this moment with him underneath the sky, like, wow, you're really real. Like, this is really going to happen. I want to know him more. I wanted to know him more instead of just learn the Bible studies and do the good, you know, the good Christian things. So at that time, I started reading the Bible on my own and studying it, doing daily devotions, mostly daily devotions. I was 15. cut me some slack. So that was a really special time. And then the next time, I call it the wandering and wondering years. There was a patch between like 19 to 24 where I was just trying to figure out if I really wanted to still follow God, or am I just following the rules that people had set up for me in some of our more legalistic churches. But during that time, I served at Options and got to do a Bible study with some really brave women that were recovering from drugs and still trying to parent their babies. It was just a really special time with God to rely on him for something I felt completely unequipped for.
Yes.
Okay, God, here we go. So that was fun. And then we went to a new church, and I felt like my relationship with God just exploded. I started to really want to seek scripture, and I had Christian friends around me, and it was just a really special time around when I was about 24. And then I don't remember when I started becoming a part of a Sweet Sealer. I feel like that was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. I can't remember when, but that was a really pivotal point in my life to learn to be still with him and to work from a place of rest, which was like, what? Just keep working harder. No, it's a lie. Don't believe it. And then right around age 37, which I'm now 39, about 2 years ago, I had a really special moment with God where I feel like I finally truly understood his grace in a way I never had. And the feelings that washed over me and the tears that poured from me, it felt like a new conversion almost. It was so profound that it just took away so much condemnation and striving that I'd still hung and clung on to. Yeah. And I had this beautiful like, okay, you're with me, you're for me, and I can do anything with you. And that was such a beautiful moment right before a really hard season in my life. So I'm so thankful.
He prepared you for it.
He did, because I knew he would be there through it, and he has been.
Yeah.
So, man, he knows when
he knows. He does. You know how the Israelites put standing stones in places to remember God's, I met God here. You know, we saw God do this here.
Yeah.
We have standing stones. All of us do. Everybody listening has standing stones as well. They're important.
They're so important.
To remember because not every day is, you know, all wonder and delight.
No.
There are dishes to wash, and there are annoying people that we have to be nice to and we don't want to be, right?
It's true. So many.
So true. So many. So, but to go back every once in a while and just say, look what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It just strengthens faith, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you, Nicole.
That is fun.
Well, I think we need to pray.
I think so.
So let's do it. Oh, Father, thank you for standing stones. Thank you for special times in both Nicole's and my life where we knew, but we knew you are real. You love us. You are for us, which is so humbling. And you died for us. We're so grateful, Lord. And I pray for everyone listening today. Oh, Lord, just show yourself to him or her in some really precious ways in the week ahead. Please. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today as we talked about Mary Magdalene and her long journey with Jesus. We are truly glad you stopped to listen with us today and pray you'll come back for another episode each month on the first and third Tuesday. We would love the chance to meet you in person. Registration is now open for our Living Waters Conference. Come join us in Portland, Maine on September 26th. We're really looking forward to talking about Jesus as our living water, and we are offering many workshops that day along with our own main speaker, Sharon Gamble. Please go to sweetsela.org for more information or to sign up. And don't forget to join us next time for episode 164. Until next time, don't forget to take the time to just stop, Sela, and be with Jesus.